We're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. Donald Trump's victory is likely to mean changes in U.S. energy and environmental policy. Joining us with some analysis this morning is Ben Geeman. He is energy reporter for news agency Axios. Ben, thank you so much for joining us this morning on KMOX.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
First off, look back at the energy policy during the first Trump administration for us. What were some of the key things that were important in that administration?
Yeah, that's right. Essentially what happened in the first Trump administration is on some level, a prologue of what we can expect, which is that you have a president who is more in favor of domestic fossil fuel industries than his predecessor. Now, let's be clear, oil and gas production grew under Obama, and oil and gas production grew a lot under Biden as well. But that said, you saw Donald Trump essentially nullifying a major Obama-era regulation on power plants that had already run into some trouble at the Supreme Court. He kind of picked up the pace of certain types of fossil fuel and oil and gas leasing on federal lands, and more generally was just sort of, had a much more kind of pro-fossil fuel posture than President Obama did in certain ways, and certainly a more pro-fossil fuel posture than the Biden administration has had.
Are those many of the themes that the president-elect has now talked about as far as energy policy going forward?
Very much so. You know, this was something that he emphasized a great deal on the campaign trail, this idea that, you know, you would often hear the Trump campaign or Trump himself say that they want to drill, baby, drill, kind of a throwback phrase that became popular again. They would talk about this idea of unleashing American oil and gas. One thing that's really interesting about this, though, is that the connective tissue between who is the president and how much oil and gas production there is in the United States is actually really weak, right? I mean, under President Biden, who took tougher steps on climate change than any president in history, you had oil and natural gas production continue surging to more and more and more record highs. Now, obviously, you had a lot of support for renewable electricity efforts under the Biden administration and more support under the Inflation Reduction Act for electric vehicles. But that said, the trajectory of U.S. oil and gas production is really sort of only distantly related in certain ways, at least in the near term, to who is sitting in the Oval Office. Longer term, you can have some much bigger effects, which is something we could also talk about.
We're talking with Axios Energy reporter Ben Geeman. I'm really curious about what his proposals could mean for the EPA and how it regulates industries, including the coal-fired power plant industry.
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the larger regulations implemented, or at least finalized, it wouldn't take effect for some number of years, but one of the biggest regulations under President Biden's EPA are these new carbon emission standards for existing coal-fired power plants and future natural gas-fired power plants. And those were something, I mean, look, the share of coal in our electric power mix has been falling for a long, long time. And I think the idea is that these regulations would have made that decline go even faster starting in the 2030s. And it also would have, I think, made it very unlikely that no matter how much power demand there is in the U.S., that we would see any type of stabilization or perhaps even upswing in coal-fired power. And it also would have created some new headwinds for natural gas-fired power. So that regulation is already under court challenge, and I think we can be very certain that the Trump administration will abandon it. Similarly, in the other sort of, I suppose, largest climate change regulation, or one of them under President Biden, are these new tailpipe carbon emission standards for cars, trucks, vans, pickups, all sorts of other vehicles. And Trump was very much opposed to those. Those regulations, on some level, they would certainly help to make traditional internal combustion engines cleaner, but really it was a play to sort of have a bank shot forcing of much higher levels of market growth in the electric vehicle sector, right? And so, you know, those regulations would have kind of hastened this trend that is already underway. And that's a regulation I think that we can be almost certain that the Trump administration will abandon.
Let's talk about EVs, though, because it seems like this developing relationship that Mr. Trump has with Elon Musk has softened his stance on EVs a little bit.
Yeah, this is something that I think everybody is watching very closely. I mean, I think the way that I would look at it is that it has certainly softened his stance on Tesla. But to some extent, Tesla can be a little bit separated from the electric vehicle market more broadly, right? So what we're going to see President Trump presumably try and do is pare back existing federal support for electric vehicles. One of those avenues is that EPA regulation that I just mentioned, but also in the 2022 climate law called the Inflation Reduction Act, you had expanded tax credits for electric vehicles and other sorts of policies that are aimed at boosting the growth in that market. And so one big question is how much success Trump will have in paring back elements of that law, because it's already on the books, but he could make it more difficult to access those credits. Now, to bring it back to your question about Tesla, here's the thing. Tesla is by far more mature and established than any other electric vehicle startup in the United States, right? So there's some thought that if you have fewer subsidies, given Tesla's sort of market maturity, that it could kind of, in a bank shot way, help Tesla by making the effort to become a mature company all that much harder for some of these startups that are kind of nipping at Tesla's heels. So it kind of goes both ways, right? I mean, certainly at a sort of very high level, more support for electric vehicle subsidies is good for Tesla. But on the other hand, it could be sort of a win-win because if a lot of those subsidies and supports go away, Tesla's in a better position to survive in a world without them than a lot of its competitors.
Before we let you go, I want to talk about possible energy and environmental policy under a new Trump administration in relation to the rest of the world. As we know, Mr. Trump pulled us out of the Paris Agreement before. Is that expected to happen again?
I think that is very likely to happen again. I think that is very important symbolically, but what's very difficult to parse out, and even people who have spent their life steeped in these topics, it's a little bit difficult to parse out how much that has an on-the-ground effect on other nations' policies, right? Because in a lot of ways, the trajectory of what people often call the energy transition, the growth of electric vehicles we were just talking about, the growth of solar power, the growth of wind power, hydrogen, any number of other things, is dictated by the increasing economic attractiveness of those sectors. But on the other hand, the US is such a powerhouse important economy that if there is much less US support for those sectors and a diminished or even vacant role at these international climate talks for those efforts, that could have some real tangible effects. I mean, here's one big one that I would point to right off the bat. The biggest topic at the upcoming UN climate talks in Azerbaijan that start next week is how much money wealthy industrialized countries should be providing to developing and poorer nations to both adapt to climate change but also fight climate change. I think we can be pretty sure that a Trump administration would not be supportive of that being a major of US aid being a sort of big part of that. And how much that sort of affects other countries and how much they're willing to pony up, I think is something people will be watching quite carefully. But on the other hand, I think we should be very careful about kind of overinterpreting the results of this. I mean, as I was mentioning before, if you'd want to bring it back to domestic fossil fuel production, oil and gas companies are considering a huge number of variables when they decide where to, dig new wells, when to bring them into production, at what levels, and so on. Because look, certainly regulatory costs matter, but those can be completely overwhelmed at times by other non-policy variables. Think about it, like when commodity prices are very attractive, you can have production that's very economical to come online. If commodity prices collapse, you can have wells that are just not economic at all, even under the most permissive regulatory environment. So I think, I'm always a little bit cautious in overinterpreting the results of these kinds of political changes. I think the effect on clean energy markets is real. Certainly, we saw the shares of a lot of different clean energy sector companies drop significantly yesterday after the news of Trump's victory was formalized. But on the other hand, the trajectory of the energy transition and of oil and gas production is, like I said, tethered to policy, but not completely wedded to it.
Ben, thank you so much for taking time out to spend with us today.
Thank you for having me on the program. I really appreciate it.
That is Ben Yeaman. He is Axios Energy reporter and